Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CodeMash. We appreciate you could be with us here today in person or online. Ladies and gentlemen, with no further delay, please give me a warm welcome to Microsoft, Josh Holmes.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. Welcome to CodeMash and It's Your Web. I'm very excited to be here today at CodeMash, here with the 900 people that are in the room here at CodeMash, and with all the people that are streaming in, the thousands of people from around the world that are online right now. My name is Josh Holmes, and CodeMash is the perfect conference for us to come talk about all of the things that we're going to be talking about today, because CodeMash is that mixing and mashing of all different flavors of web development together. And today, I get to talk about how web development is evolving at Microsoft. 500 years ago, Leonardo da Vinci said, "Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication." And if you've seen any of my presentations in the last 3 to 4 years, you know that simplicity is a reoccurring theme in all of my presentations. Well, it turns out, simplicity is also a reoccurring theme in all of the Microsoft web platform. There are many different flavors of web development out there. There's chocolate, vanilla, ice cream, and with ASP.NET, it's the same. You get to choose many different flavors of web development to solve the problem that you're trying to solve right now. There are ASP.NET web pages. These are new, and we're going to talk about them quite a lot today. They're simple, light, and fast. ASP.NET web forms, very familiar, very reusable, productive, with a 10-year history, helping desktop developers come to the web and bring them into the web paradigm in a familiar and comfortable way. And ASP.NET MVC, built on that very strong architectural principle of the model view controller. Now, this is a very powerful and extensible way to do web development. Additionally, we've got multiple flavors of web development tools. We're going to talk about two in particular today, WebMatrix, which again is new. And this is very simple and designed to support both ASP.NET and PHP. Additionally, Visual Studio, which is our flagship developer product, is very powerful, flexible, and integrated, allowing you to go all the way from architecture through the testing and development phase of your project on into quality assurance, managing the full life cycle of your application. WebMatrix, very simple, designed to help you create, customize, and publish in a very simple and elegant way. There are three parts to WebMatrix that you're going to see. The first and the most obvious is the development IDE itself. Next is the web server, which is very simple and light with all the power of IIS 7 and SQL Server CE, a file-based database that's very light with full compatibility with SQL Server or even SQL Azure. WebMatrix is built around three different scenarios. Sometimes you need to create a project from scratch. And of course, you can do that with WebMatrix. Sometimes you've got existing content, and of course, you can leverage that content with WebMatrix. Or third, and this is becoming more and more popular of a development paradigm, you start with one of the many awesome open source applications out there in the world. These include everything from content management systems to e-commerce solutions. And these will solve 90% of your business problem, but that last mile, you can use WebMatrix to quickly and easily customize, edit, and publish that site, solving your business problem. But regardless of how you're doing ASP.NET web development, we've made that simpler with a new syntax called Razor. Razor is a very fluent way to slide between HTML and your code, eliminating a lot of the ceremony of opening brackets, closing brackets, and all those extra keystrokes, allowing you to focus on the essence of what you need to get done today. But let's imagine just for a minute that you need to integrate in some social networking site, such as Facebook or Twitter or something like that. Well, you can do that with the new concept called helpers and leveraging the exact same Razor syntax to very quickly and easily integrate those right into your site. Or if you want to integrate in PayPal and be able to pay me a lot of money, I personally get very excited about that particular concept. But with PayPal, you can simply use this simple helper and the Razor syntax to integrate that. But that's not where that stops. There's a very rich ecosystem of open source developers working on helpers that include the, of course, social media and e-commerce solutions, but also ways to help you build your site, like Template Monster or Bitly for URL shortening, or ways to interact with your users. There are geolocated services, there's event management, or you can even hit any service that exposes Open Data Protocol, or OData, using the Open Data Helper, or store information out on the cloud with Windows Azure and its helper. Now, showing is a lot better than telling, so please help me welcome James Senior from Microsoft to show you how to build an application from scratch with WebMatrix. James.
Thanks very much, Josh. Thank you for such a warm welcome, and I can't say enough, it is great to be here at CodeMash this year. I've already booked my ticket for next year's event. I'm going to be flying out here again for sure. Now, in this demo, I'm going to show you how to create a website using WebMatrix and how simple it is. Now, when you open WebMatrix, you're going to be presented with this splash screen, and you're going to get a couple of options. First of all, you can create a site from WebGallery. Now, this is where you can use many of the open source web applications that we have available out there on the gallery to get started. Alternatively, you can create a site from template. Now, that's what we're going to do today. So when I load the templates, we'll get a list of the templates that ship with WebMatrix. Now, those include things like JavaScript, HTML, images, assets, and all those things that you need to get started with building websites. Now, today, just for CodeMash, we have a very special template included, the CodeMash Bakery. So we're going to go ahead and create that. The other thing that comes with templates is the file-based database, SQL Compact. This is really useful because we can actually ship the database as a template with dummy data to get you started even more quickly. In the Site Manager pane here, we'll see that we can drill into files in our site and edit them. We can manage the databases, or we can run reports like SEO, which is really useful for optimizing our site before we publish to make sure it's findable out there using search engines. Let's run the site now and see what it gives us. Notice that we get options to run in all of the browsers that we have installed locally, which is great for testing. And here you can see the bakery website. We have an order page where we can specify our email address and shipping address and then place an order. Now, these templates are all CSS3 based and HTML5 and shipped with jQuery, so they have the cutting edge client-side web technologies included to get you started. Now, this template, I want to add to it. I want to create functionality. First of all, I want to let people know who visit the site whether an item is in stock or not. And secondly, I want to add PayPal functionality so I can take transactions and make money off of my site. So let's go back into WebMatrix and add the stock capabilities first of all. Now, first off, I'm going to go into databases and add a new column. You notice how we have the SDF file here, which is the file-based database. And I'm going to go and define a new column in the products table. I'm going to call it stock. And we'll set that to false and create default value of 0. So now I save that. Notice also that we can create relationships as well. So we can have the notion of primary keys, foreign keys, just as you expect in other databases too. In the data pane, I see I have my new stock column. Now I'm going to add in some fake data here. I'm going to leave 1 at 0, the pair tart here, so we can test our code. Now that's the database setup. Fantastic. Next, let's drill into our files. Now, you'll notice down the left-hand side here, we have the CSHTML files. Now, these are our new Razor pages, ASP.NET web pages, and you'll see these all throughout the new version of the web platform. I'm going to open the order.cshtml, and you'll notice that at the top of the page we have code that first of all queries the database, as well as accepts or handles the post from the client to the server. Down the bottom, we see we've got a lot of markup mixed in with code. And you might think, well, this looks familiar, something like classic ASP or PHP. And that's right, but there's a subtle difference. The at symbol means that it can easily transition between markup and code without having to close off our code statement. And that's inside the Razor parser, and it's very, very useful and makes it easy to write web pages. Okay, let's add the code that we need to tell people that items are in stock or not. So we're going to go and say if product.stock greater than zero. And this is a very simple statement. We'll add an else clause. And then we'll start to type HTML. And notice how we get IntelliSense inside of the IDE. And then we'll say that Josh has already eaten this before, so we aren't able to get this particular product. Now, let's go and run that and see what happens when we go and visit the pear tart again. There we see we have a new message which tells the item is out of stock and we can't make the purchase. Right, so we've added that capability. How about the e-commerce capability in the PayPal, using PayPal? Now, every website you create with WebMatrix and ASP.NET web pages comes with an administration area where we can manage packages and helpers in our website. So I'm going to log into the administration area here, and I'll see a list of the packages that I have installed already. We're going to go and find new ones online. Now notice how we have a really long list of helpers here. We've got helpers from Facebook, Foursquare, Freemium, Groupon, all these different helpers which make it really easy to add useful functionality to our website. Here's the PayPal one, so we're going to go ahead and open that, install it, and that will download the package and install the relevant assemblies and assets to my project. So now that we've installed that, we can go and explore what's been installed. Notice that in the bin we have a number of assemblies relevant for the PayPal service, as well as some documentation, which makes it really easy to find out about the API and get started. So let's add the PayPal functionality. That's to do at the moment. Now, PayPal provides lots of interesting services that we can use to do transactions against, one of which is the Simple Pay API. This is probably the easiest one to get started, so we're going to use that today. And it takes a number of parameters. First of all, it takes the store that I want to pay, and I'm paying myself. Let's put my Hotmail address in here. And then it takes the total price. Of course, we need to pass in that information. We then have the option of using the, or passing in the customer's email address, but now we'll leave that blank and allow the customer to fill it out on PayPal's side. I can say thanks for the purchase, as well to say a nice message to my customer, as well as I can pass in the IP address for a bit of tracking. I'm going to fix this for now, as well as the source of the transaction. So this is the website. Okay, so now that that has been called, what happens is PayPal logs a transaction in their system and gives me back a pay key. Then I can use this pay key to redirect the user back to PayPal to complete the transaction. So that's the last step in my code here. I just need to type response.redirect. And now I can get rid of the old version and go ahead and run the code. Okay, so this time I'm going to go ahead and buy a lemon tart. How about that? We're going to fill in my email address, the shipping address, and go ahead and place my order. I get passed through to the PayPal website, just like that. I can type in my password and pay for the transaction. I get returned back to my website, and I'm congratulated for my purchase. Thank you very much. So, this is a template design that ships with WebMatrix. Now, what about if you wanted to use your own design, or perhaps create something yourself. Now, I'm not a designer, I'm a developer, and I think we know where our strengths and weaknesses are. Now, there's a great site out there that provides templates for me to get started with great designs, and that's templatemonster.com. I'm really excited today to announce that we've teamed up with templatemonster.com to provide lots of new Razor-based templates, including code, markup, JavaScript images, and also the file-based databases, for you to get started with your own websites built in WebMatrix. Let's go and show you what that experience looks like. I'm going to go ahead and purchase this template. Seems like an applicable one for my bakery. We'll check out with PayPal. Now, I get to this URL here. Now, notice I'm going to copy and paste this and head back to a separate project, which is actually empty. And I'm going to go and go to the admin page within this new project. Okay, we'll log in as before, but this time we're going to head to another part of the website where we can manage our package sources. We'll call this templates, and we'll paste in the URL. And now when I go back to my package manager, this shows up in the options. So if I go to online and select this list, we have template. We'll see we have our bakery template that I've just purchased from templatemonster.com. So we'll go ahead and install that. And now pull the package down from templatemonster.com and install it locally and set it up all within WebMatrix. So let's head back and see what that's done. Here we have all of the assets which are inside of that package, so images, database, etc. And now we have a great looking website which we can go and visit. So that's looking much better already. So we're almost ready to. Now, in WebMatrix, we've made it super easy to do the publishing process, starting with finding web hosting. We've got all of the great deals listed on the web hosting gallery, and you can filter by things like price, hard drive capacity, etc. To get the perfect hosting provider for you. Now, I've already signed up for my hosting provider, and they sent me an email welcoming me to the service, which is great. They also included in that email an attachment, and that was a file that's going to help me get set up in WebMatrix for publishing my website. So if I go and click on Import Publishing Settings and locate the file that I saved out of the email, CodeMash Bakery, notice how all of the fields have been auto-populated for me, so I don't have to remember the passwords, etc. We're going to go verify that connection. Of course, it works. And we'll go and save the settings. Now I'm ready to publish. The first thing that will happen if I haven't published the site before, it will ask me if I want to run a compatibility test. And what that does is make sure that the web server is set up correctly, things like file permissions, things like components that need to be installed on the web server to have everything run. And that's not just for ASP.NET, that's also for PHP. So we'll check if PHP is installed or if MySQL has installed too. So we're going to continue, and it's going to go and check which files we need to upload. You notice we have a list of all the files plus the SDF, portable database file, and we're going to go ahead and publish. Now, we're using WebDeploy, a technology to publish the website here, and it's really cool for two reasons. The first is it's very fast because it uses one stream to publish all of the files instead of using a new connection each time for each file, like FTP. The other great thing that it does is it checks to see if there are any newer versions on the client compared to the server. So it only updates the files that you've changed. So you won't be uploading unnecessary files. So let's go and load our website. We'll just wait for the bakery to warm up and make sure it's ready. And in summary, I just wanted to recap on what we've seen. We've seen how easy it is with WebMatrix to get started building a website. We've seen the new Razor syntax and how you can slip between HTML and code very seamlessly. We've also seen the rich ecosystem of helpers available out there, whether you're doing social or e-commerce or any other thing. And then we've seen the great templates available from templatemonster.com, as well as how easy it is to publish your final website. Thank you very much.
Thank you, James. Personally, I really enjoyed seeing that and seeing how easy it is to create an application from scratch using WebMatrix and leveraging the Razor syntax and templatemonster.com and all the other things that James got to demo there. However, that's actually only one of the ways to create content with the WebMatrix. So the other one that's really exciting to me personally is starting with one of the many open source packages that are out there. I don't know if you've seen the web application gallery. We've got close to 40 applications representing the top PHP and ASP.NET open source projects in the world. And this has been up for 18 months, and you've been able to install applications with the web platform installer. And in fact, we've had 2.5 million installs from the web application installer. But we're going to make that even easier with WebMatrix to download, install, and edit, customize, and publish an existing open source application. But to show you how that's done, please help me welcome to the stage .NET Nuke with Sean Walker and Joe Brinkman.
Thanks, Josh. Good afternoon, Codemashers. We are very excited to be here today. This is the first time that I've attended Codemash, and I would definitely want to come back again. Specifically, we're excited today to demonstrate or showcase some of the rich integration that we've created between WebMatrix, Razor, and .NET Nuke. For those of you who are not familiar with .NET Nuke, it is the most popular open source web content management platform for ASP.NET. What this means is we have more than 6 million downloads of our application over the last 8 years, and we have more than 600,000 production websites running our application today. Joe's going to be doing the driving of the demo, and I'm going to be doing the backseat driving, so if anything goes wrong, I get somebody to blame. But with that, we're going to get started with the demo. So the first thing that we want to do is we want to demonstrate how simple it is to open an existing .NET Nuke website using WebMatrix. So to do that, we're going to open the Windows Explorer, and we're going to browse to the location where .NET Nuke website has been installed, and we can right-click on the root folder of that website and choose Open in WebMatrix. This will launch the WebMatrix development environment, where you have a variety of tools that you can utilize to better manage your website. What we'd like to do immediately is get our website up and running. So with that, we'll go to the site area, and we'll choose the URL so that it launches in our favorite browser. While that's loading, I just want you to note that the amount of simplicity and the amount of user experience that has gone into the WebMatrix product, which makes it a lot less cumbersome to use than some of those heavyweight IDEs that we're used to today. So with the .NET Nuke website up and running, we want to move on to the next portion of our demo, where we demonstrate the rich Razor integration that we've provided in .NET Nuke today. .NET Nuke is a composite web application. What that means is at runtime, module output is assembled to create a complete page, and then that output is shipped down to the web browser. Traditionally, modules in .NET Nuke have been created using standard ASP.NET user controls. With the emergence of Razor, it actually creates a new capability in .NET Nuke that we can allow people to create modules using Razor syntax. And we're going to demonstrate a couple different ways that we can do that today, which I hope you find interesting. The first scenario that we want to cover is a scenario where you have an existing website. Perhaps you're a power user. Perhaps you have some level of scripting capability or scripting skills. And you would like to very quickly add some additional functionality to your website. So what we've created in .NET Nuke is a new module called a Razor Host module. The Razor Host module can be added to a page in .NET Nuke through the control panel. And once it's added to a page, then you can go into the edit script area of the module, where you can choose from a variety of different canned scripts that we've provided with our platform, or you can create or modify scripts of your own. For this particular demo, we're going to choose a Razor script that we've already created. That script is called the contact list. The contact list script is designed to pull to display a list of users, registered users from your .NET Nuke website. What's interesting about this particular Razor script is the level of integration that you can see with the .NET Nuke API. So using statements, you can see that it's very deeply integrated with the .NET Nuke API in terms of interacting with the rich objects of which are available in our API. if we scroll down through this script, you can also see how sophisticated the Razor script is. A lot of people look at Razor as being simply a templating engine, where in fact you can build very sophisticated web application using Razor. So we're going to make this particular script active, which means that we can render this particular user list on our site. So once the page refreshes, we're going to see the user list module or the contact list module in action. And we can choose different options from the filter to display users in different roles, which also demonstrates that Razor has the capability for data entry as well as templating and output. So the second scenario that we want to cover today is a scenario where perhaps you have some common functionality that you would like to reuse either within your current website or across other websites. In the .NET Nuke world, we call this our modular architecture. And we're really excited today to announce that you can now create modules in .NET Nuke using very native Razor syntax, and they operate the same way that any other .NET Nuke module operates. So the first thing that we want to do is we're going to create a module. We've already created a script, or a Razor script, on our system. And so we go in and we browse the particular folder where that script exists. This particular script is called Eventbrite because it pulls a list of events that are interesting to us into our .NET Nuke application. We've already created a user control for the Eventbrite module. The Eventbrite user control is, in fact, the interface which allows Razor scripts to be rendered within the .NET Nuke environment. So now that we've given that module a name, we can register that module within the .NET Nuke application. Now that the module is registered, it's not yet active on our site, we need to add an instance of that module to a page on our site. So we're going to go back to the page that we were on before. We're going to go to the control panel, and we're going to drop down and select the Eventbrite module. Once we save this, or once we inject an instance of this module onto our page, we're going to see a list of events. The initial view of this module is not that interesting. It's just an unordered list of events, and this isn't providing a very great user experience for people coming to our website. So we would like to enhance the capabilities of this module, and this is where WebMatrix comes back into the picture again. So if we move back over into WebMatrix and we go into the files area, we can browse into the file structure of our site, and we can find the Eventbrite module. We can open the Razor script, and we can see in WebMatrix how we have a much richer editing experience through WebMatrix when it comes to Razor syntax than we would get in through just a standard text box through the .NET Nuke application. All right, so we already have some scripts that we've created for some various functionality that we can add to our Eventbrite module. The first thing that we want to do is we want to render this list as a grid. And so what we're going to do in this case is we're going to take advantage of some of the helpers, which Josh mentioned earlier. Helpers are essentially things, are composite reusable controls, which allow you to redo common tasks such as retrieve data or display data. In this case, we're going to use the Razor web grid, which is going to allow us to display our events in a grid format with paging. So we've already got the script in WebMatrix, and once we save that script, then we can refresh the browser, and we get our user list, our event list, looking in a completely different manner, with paging, with nice column titles. But this may not be exactly the user experience that we would like to present to our users. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna make another change. And in fact, in this case, we're going to use another helper. We're going to use a helper that was provided as part of Eventbrite. This helper has a better default view, a much richer view of the events. So we're going to plug that script now into WebMatrix. We're going to save. And we're going to refresh our browser again. And in this case, we're going to get a really rich list of the events, a much more friendly list. So what we've done in this case is we've created an Eventbrite module in .NET Nuke fully using Razor script. What we could do at this point, if we wanted to share this module with another user, another .NET Nuke user, perhaps to install on their site, we could utilize the .NET Nuke internal packaging capability to create a module package, which we could then share with other users. Perhaps we could even upload it to the .NET Nuke marketplace, snowcover.com, where we might be able to sell this module to other developers who are using .NET Nuke. So with that, we've demonstrated a couple different things today. First, we demonstrated that using the Web Matrix tool, we can open existing .NET Nuke websites and manage them very easily. Second, we demonstrated that Razor is a first-class citizen within the .NET Nuke architecture, and so we can create modules using Razor syntax, and they're very rich the same way that you would create modules using user controls. The last thing that I need to mention, obviously, is when you can get this. The Web Matrix and Razor support in .NET Nuke is available in .NET Nuke 5.6.1, which is available today from our website on .NETNuke.com in release candidate form. In next week, the final release will ship on Wednesday, January 19th. And with that, I'd like to thank you for inviting us. I thank Microsoft for including us in this event, and have a great conference.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. All right, thank you very much, guys. I mean, I've been a fan of .NET Nuke since the beginning. It's a great content management system. I've ended up using it in a number of different scenarios. But it's really exciting to see how easy and how simple it is to download, install, customize, and publish with Web Matrix. But one of the things that I pointed out early on is that Web Matrix is not just about ASP.NET. It's also supporting PHP and MySQL. So it's actually very interesting to talk about PHP and MySQL on stage during a Microsoft event, Microsoft session. PHP is, over the last handful of years, been a very heavy investment area for Microsoft. IS7 has got a tremendous number of product enhancements, including FastCGI, WinCache, URL redirection, all of which support PHP exceedingly well. And MySQL and PHP have really become ready for prime time on the Windows platform. But again, showing is better than telling. So with that, let me introduce Ryan Osmek up to show you how to create a Joomla website with Web Matrix. And actually, I mean, as I talked about PHP, it's actually extremely exciting for me to have Ryan up here from Joomla, because Joomla being one of the most foremost PHP content management systems on stage with Microsoft co-presenting and talking about Web Matrix. So with that, thank you very much, Ryan.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Josh. Thank you, CodeMash. Good to see you guys here. My name again is Ryan Osmek. I'm from Open Source Matters. Open Source Matters is the nonprofit organization that helps support and is behind the Joomla project. And today what I want to show you is how easy it is to install, customize, and deploy a Joomla site using Web Matrix. So let's go ahead and take a look here. So if I dive into my web gallery, I can click and I can see a variety of different web applications available. I'll go ahead and scroll down, of course, to Joomla. There it is. And I can go ahead right away and just give myself a site name. Let's call it Consult Co. I'll go ahead and click Next. It sees that I'm going to be using a MySQL database, and yes, I'm going to go ahead and install it on my local machine here. Of course, it wants a password for this new database that I'm creating, so let's go ahead and create one. And click Next. Excellent. And on this screen here, we can see all the different components that will be installed with this new Joomla site and any agreements necessary. I'll go ahead and click the Accept button there. It'll go through the process right now of preparing everything I need for the last step, what I need, which is to configure the Joomla basic configuration information. So here, of course, we've got some more passwords to type in. That one looks good, another database password. All this is directly within the interface. Okay, one more. Excellent. No sample data for now, but I would like to change the website's name. How about back to Consult Co. Site admin, oh look, another password. One more time, this time it's for the Joomla admin, and then give it an email address. Perfect. I'll hit the next button. Excellent, so again, behind the scenes here, it's compiling everything, getting it all ready to go. So within just a few seconds here, should have access to seeing my Joomla site published right away within Web Matrix. Excellent. So we can see MySQL, PHP, Joomla, everything ready to go. I'll click OK. brings me back into the web matrix interface. And right away, let's take a look to see how our new site looks. Click on the URL link here. And there we go. Okay, so we're getting started. Obviously, this is a little bare bones, so let's clean this up a little bit. I want to make it a little fancier, so I'm going to go ahead and log into the nice Joomla backend interface here. And log in. Excellent. So this is the Joomla admin screen, for those of you who haven't seen it before. And if I want to, I can really easily just go into our extensions manager and install an extension that has some extra features as well as a new theme or a template for us. I'll select it, click open, and go ahead and install that file. Excellent. So you can see one part of it here includes a theme or a template, which we say in Joomla world. I can go ahead and just choose that template to be our default template for the site. So there's our new template. Go over here to default. You can see now it's the default template for our site. You can make other design changes, obviously, within the Joomla administrator, but let's just take a look at what we can do within WebMatrix itself. I can dive into the Files tab here. I can see the listing of all the files within the Joomla site we just created. Included in that is our templates directory. Including in that is the new theme that we installed. And right down below that, here's index.php for our Joomla template. You can see a nice coding interface with nice syntax highlighting here. Makes it easy for us to make those HTML changes necessary for our site. We can also go ahead and just mass import images through WebMatrix directly into the Joomla install. So I'll go into our images directory here. And then stories is one of the default places where Joomla stores its images. I can choose this add existing files. And from right here, I can dive locally into my computer. Let's say, oh, look at that. That's nice. Got a bunch of photos ready to go. Select those, open them, and voila. All those have now moved themselves all the way over into our new site. So we show the files, but what about the database? Within WebMatrix, we can allow Joomla developers to manage their MySQL database directly within WebMatrix as well. So I'll dive into the databases button down below here. I can see the new database that was created for my site. Within here, I can see all the tables that have been created for the site. And if I make this go just a little wider here, we can take a look, for instance, at the components table. You can edit records within the database table really easily here. At the same time, you can go ahead and apply definitions and add columns to tables pretty quickly. Well, in this case, we've got this content table here, which, as you can imagine, is where the content for the site is stored. And it's looking pretty bare bones. So what I want to do is just go ahead and take a MySQL dump that I had already, put it right into the system using WebMatrix. To do that, I can just click on the Home tab, go to the New Query button. I can see I've got a new query window ready to go here. I'll just hop into a little notepad document I've got open, select all, copy, move over, paste that all in there, and now I can just go ahead and execute this SQL query. Commands completed successfully. Gotta love seeing that. We're looking good to go now. So why don't we just go ahead and take a look to see how things have changed since I last looked. Go to site. Hop into the URL, take a look under a new tab. What we should see in a moment is our site with the updated extensions, updated template and the design, and updated content, menus, pages, etc. So this should be opening up here in a second. All right, this looks a lot different from what we had before. Now we're ready for showtime. We want to get this up on the web. We want to publish it live. We can do that very easily as well. We can hop back over into WebMatrix. All we need to do is hit the publish button, as we saw a little earlier. Here is the publishing settings. Let's say that our hosting provider has already given us the internet settings we need for this particular site. So I'll go ahead and click on this, go down to the profile I've got from my hosting provider and click open and save. The next screen here is going to check for any compatibility differences for PHP and MySQL. I'm just going to go ahead and ignore that for now. In this pop-up window here, we're seeing that WebMatrix is checking locally as well as on our web server to see if there's any differences in the files. And down below, it's also saying that it's ready to go to publish our database as well. Things look good to go. Go ahead and click continue. Down here below, it's giving us a nice little progress bar. So within just a few seconds here, we should be able to see the new site published up on the web, ready to go for our visitors to be able to see. And it's going through all of the updates. Excellent, publishing complete. I can click on the link, goes ahead and brings us back to the web browser, opens up a new tab, and within a second here, we should be able to see the site as we saw it just before in the preview mode, ready to go. Bravo, right there. So within just a few minutes, we were able to install, customize, and deploy a Joomla website using WebMatrix, easy as pie. Joomla rocks. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ryan. So thank you again, Ryan. That was awesome. I love being able to see not only ASP.NET, but also PHP open source applications right here within WebMatrix. So as you know, we're here streaming live to thousands of people around the world, and we're here at CodeMash. And it's exciting for me because it's the first time at a community event where I get to say the next words, and that is that we have a launch. WebMatrix is officially available today in its RTM form. You can go download it right now from microsoft.com/web. So, but as we talked about early in the presentation, there are many different flavors of web development. And WebMatrix and the open source applications you've just seen are simply flavors of web development. We have many more platform updates that we want to talk about today. Specifically, ASP.NET MVC 3. It's getting dependency injection. It's getting Razor in its new view engine. It's getting global action filters. It's getting a great validation support with Ajax and jQuery, very unobtrusive support. And additionally, IIS Express and SQL Server Compact Edition are available in the Visual Studio Service Pack 1. But one of the things that's very dear to me is all of the open source contributions that Microsoft has been making over the past number of years. In March last year, we announced that we were going to be contributing to jQuery. I don't know if you've been paying attention or seen a lot of the things that Microsoft has been doing with jQuery, but we've contributed an entire client-side templating library. We've contributed plugins for globalization and for data linking. It's very exciting to me to see those plugins being accepted as official plugins, and the client-side templating library will be part of the core in a future version of jQuery. Additionally, we've been working with Outer Curve on a new package management system called NuGet. NuGet allows you to find, install, and manage all of those great .NET open source packages that are out there. We've seen a tremendous amount of movement around NuGet. Since August, we've had 300 plus packages submitted to the project. That's very exciting for me. And of course, ASP.NET MVC, as always, is also open source as well. To show you a lot of this in action, please help me welcome James Sr. back up to the stage to talk about building a site with ASP.NET MVC 3.
Thanks very much, guys. I told you I'd be back. So let me just close down some of the Joomla goodness that we just saw, and we'll kick off. Now, in WebMatrix earlier on, you saw how simple it was to get a website out there on the internet. Very simple. Now, what if your web application grows in size and complexity? Well, you're going to face some problems and challenges. You're going to need, you know, a dev team. So if your dev team grows, how do you share source code? You're going to need some kind of source control. You're also going to need to be able to test your growing code base to ensure that it's high quality. You also want to do performance testing and other things like that. And that's where Visual Studio 2010 and ASP.NET MVC 3 provide a great growing up opportunity for your application and make it easy to do. I'm going to show you a demo now of some new stuff we've got coming out in MVC 3, as well as NuGet. We're very excited about them. So let me go create a new project. And we're going to call this guy CodeMash, appropriately. And you'll notice that I get an option here to, and my cursor has disappeared. And that is the magnifier. There we go, it's back again. Thank you very much. Cool, so we have our open dialogue here. We have internet application. We're gonna select a Razor view engine. Notice that we have a drop down. We've got the traditional SPX view engine here as well, but we're gonna choose the Razor one. You can also add your own flavor of view engine. So if you like Spark, for example, or Haml, then you can add that too. You can also create a unit test project as before and put in your own testing framework. So if you like NUnit, XUnit, it's completely extensible as you'd expect. Now I call this the good evil checkbox. So currently we're being evil, currently we're being good. We're gonna be evil for this particular demo and we won't create a test project. Now over in Solution Explorer, let me just show to you the new views that we get in MVC3. You'll see here that everything has the familiar CSHTML extensions. So that signifies that we're talking about a Razor view as opposed to the traditional ASPX view engine. Now, as developers, we like to use lots of open source libraries, whether it's a dependency injection framework, whether it's a testing framework, or APIs and SDKs to make calls out to third-party services. Now, finding these and the latest versions and all of their dependencies can be sometimes a bit of a challenge. And that's where NuGet comes in to the rescue. I'm going to show you the GUI approach to getting NuGet packages, these open source libraries, into my project. If I click online, you'll see we've got the NuGet official package source, as well as a local packages option. Now, let me just talk about the local packages option for a second. This is not a feed out on the internet, like the official feed is, but it's actually a local version. Now, this could be a feed server within the firewall or a folder on my local file system. And people are starting to use this inside their development teams to provide their developers with a specific set of open source libraries that they use time and time and again. So you might want to think about that the next time you're setting up your environments. Now, I can go ahead and search for, let's say, my favorite DI framework, which is Ninject. We see we get a ninject.mvc flavor. Now, this is a specific version for MVC3, which takes advantage of the new dependency injection hooks inside of ASP.NET MVC3, where you can add DI into controllers, views, and lots of other good stuff. You'll also notice that this package has a few dependencies. And NuGet takes care of installing all of these other things that I need to get my package up and running without me having to configure anything at all. We've also got testing frameworks available. Let's go and search for my favorite one, which is if we come back here. There we go. Just a bit of lag on the network there, unfortunately. This can be the challenge with demoing at a conference. But once I get the net back, we'll be able to search for mock. There we go. Oh, no, it's canceled it again. Right. There we go. So let's search for mock. We can install that package. And what it's going to do is drop in an assembly into the references here. So it's registered. Now, packages can consist of not just assemblies, but they can also consist of things like classes, startup scripts, as well as modifying files that exist in the project already, like the web config. So if we need to set up a package with a few lines of XML in the web config, we can do that too. Now, the other way of installing NuGet packages is in the library package manager here and going to package manager console. Now, this is going to give us a more of a powerful way of adding packages. I'm going to actually go and zoom in here so you can see a little bit more clearly what I'm doing. So first of all, I can do calls like list package and go against the remote server. And that will bring down a list of all of the packages available I can go and peruse through and figure out whether I want to install. I'm going to install a specific one now called SQL CE Entity Framework. Notice how we have autocomplete as well, so I don't have to do all of the typing. And this is going to add a special flavor of entity framework code first, which allows us to create databases from models. Now, to do that, I'm going to go and create a new model, first of all. Okay, I'm going to close the references down. And inside here, we'll add a new class file. And we'll call it product or product, depending on how you spell product. Okay. Similar theme to the bakery. We're going to have a product theme. And I got a code snippet here, which is going to help me fill this out with a few properties. Notice how we've got this category class that we need to go and generate. I'll get Visual Studio to take care of that for me. We're going to make this more visible to everything else. And then add another code snippet to finish off that class. Now, notice we've got these references between category and products. That sets up associations and also relationships in the database once Entity Framework has been set up. You'll also notice that these classes are very lightweight. We haven't added any extra cruft to them like base classes or attributes that are required for this. It's very lightweight. Now let me go and add in our context where we can define how Entity Framework is going to create our database. So let's call this store context. And inside of the store context, we're going to inherit from DB context. That is not context. That is context. There we go. And we're going to bring in that namespace. Got a code snippet here, which will give us the context. Now, this tells Entity Framework that we want to go and create these tables from these particular models. So now we're good to go. At this point, I could tell Entity Framework that I've got a seeding strategy in that I want to insert database, insert data the first time the database is created. And you can either fill that in yourself or you can get it from other sources. That's up to you. Now, in this particular example, I'm actually going to create an admin scaffold to do that instead. And I'm going to head back to NuGet because I'm feeling really good about this tool. And I'm going to look for another open source package and install it. Instead, this is going to be, install package. And this one is called MVC scaffold. Now, this is a different type of package. This doesn't have assets, code files, assemblies, and things like that. It modifies the PowerShell scripts that I have available. So I can do things like scaffold controller and point it at one of my models, and then also give it the context that it needs. So in this case, store context is what I've used to create the database. So I'm going to press enter. It's going to go away and look through my product class. It's going to inspect it, figure out what the properties are, and it's going to create a controller and CRUD-based views for me so that I can simply go and run now. There we go. And navigate to the product controller. So let's go over here. And now we've got our scaffolding. So I can start to add in various items. So let's say coffee, cake, $4.99, and carrot cake. Now, it also comes with validation built in through the helpers that we have in MVC. But there's server-side validation. We'll go and fix that in a little while. So heading back into Visual Studio 2010, we go and inspect our solution a little bit more carefully at the top here. I'm going to show all files. We'll see that we've now got our database created. So I didn't actually create this. It was created by Entity Framework code first based off of our models the first time we ran our application. So it took care of it for us. Scrolling down, let's go and take care of that client-side validation. Now, client-side validation, it's not new in MVC 3. We had it in MVC 2. But what is new is the way that we do the validation. So for starters, you'll see that we're bringing in jQuery by default in our MVC 3 projects. And we also, as well as do that, ship a new library, jQuery validate, which of course is a really popular validation library. And on top of that, we layer our own unobtrusive script, which hooks in to provide validation on the client side without inserting JavaScript into the view. So if I go back to my product now, product controller. And I go and create new item. Let's say pizza. And I try and create a product. We'll notice we'll get client-side validation. So there we see we have the price entered and it goes away. Very cool. So with that, we've seen a number of things. First of all, we've seen how in MVC 3, we have the new Razor syntax. We've seen how NuGet makes it very easy to get those must-have packages, those open source libraries, into your projects with ease. We've also seen how Entity Framework Code First makes it really, really easy to create databases from models. And finally, we saw some of the new jQuery validation libraries as well as unobtrusive validation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, James, for showing us all the goodness here with ASP.NET MVC, some of the great new validation support, and everything that comes with that MVC framework. It's pretty exciting. Now, another thing I'm very excited to announce is that all of the technologies that you've seen today, so ASP.NET MVC, IIS Express, SQL Server Compact Edition, NuGet, Orchard, all available right now on Microsoft.com/web. So I encourage you to go out and download your flavor of web development at Microsoft.com/web. Now, if you're online, we've got lots more content for you. If you're here, the wireless may not be so good. So with that, thank you very much.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back. Today, I'm joined by Bill Staples, the general manager of the Web Platform and Tools team. And Bill, just for everybody at home, tell them what you do at Microsoft and what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. Thanks, James. Yeah, I'm the general manager for the Web Platform and Tools team at Microsoft. That's the engineering team that builds the Web Matrix product we're going to talk about today, but also framework for building web applications, and then the Visual Studio tools the developers use to build web applications and websites.
Wow, so you're a pretty busy guy then. That's a lot of products.
It is a great team. I've been at Microsoft now more than 10 years, 11 plus years actually, the entire time working on web technologies, and my career before Microsoft was also focused on web and internet technology. So I love this space. Very, very passionate about the web and building stuff on the internet.
That is awesome. So today we're launching a brand new product from Microsoft called Web Matrix. Just tell everybody at home a bit about what Web Matrix is and who it's designed for.
Sure. The story with Web Matrix actually goes way, way back for me personally. I was in college 15 plus years ago, I guess, doing pre-med. I wanted to be a doctor. And part of that degree actually had me working in hospitals, and I quickly realized it wasn't for me. And at the same time, the internet was sort of taking off, and I thought, you know, computers were always a hobby. I wanted to learn how to program on the internet, so I started building websites. And back then, you know, it was all Linux, and I worked a lot with Perl, and built up some websites with HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. And sort of self-taught on web and internet technology. Well, I quickly learned Cold Fusion and Classic ASP and PHP when it came out, and I just loved how quick and efficient and simple it was to build a website with those technologies. Well, I came to Microsoft, as I said, about 11 years ago, and the entire time I've wanted to build a product that could help developers who are focused on building websites. First, maybe those who want to learn web development, maybe it is their major in college or their interest in high school, maybe not.
Maybe they're doing medicine.
Maybe not, yeah, exactly. Anybody can build a website quickly with the right set of tools. And also those who make it their business to build out websites quickly and efficiently using open source. And so Web Matrix is that product.
Excellent. So a dream realized.
It is. I've been wanting to build this kind of product for a long time.
Fantastic. So what are the main approaches that a developer is going to take in WebMatrix?
Well, there's sort of two paths, as I alluded to. There's the getting started. If you're new to web development and you want to learn how to do web development, WebMatrix provides a great environment to do that. It includes everything you need from a basic tool editing tool, integrated database and web server, as well as access to the most popular programming frameworks, including PHP, ASP.NET, and a new syntax we're calling Razor for ASP.NET web pages that makes building websites super, super easy. The web server, built-in web server, supports both ASP.NET and PHP, so you can run both of those. And the tool itself makes it really easy to not only build custom web pages, but start a new website using any of the most popular web applications on the internet. Mm-hmm. So you've maybe heard of WordPress or Drupal or Joomla, .NET Nuke, Orchard.
Yep.
All of those are instantly accessible through WebMatrix. You can download them, get started right away.
Cool. All right, so that's a good introduction to what the tool is, what the platform is, and also how people are going to use it. Once people get inside of WebMatrix, they've downloaded it, what are some of those features that you recommend people check out straight away?
Well, when you open up WebMatrix for the first time, you see a screen that lets you basically start a website using one of three approaches. Right? You can start using the App Gallery, which is a gallery of those open source apps I mentioned. There's several dozen open source applications in there. You select an app, it downloads it from the community, and you get started. I love that feature because it makes building websites super easy and really powerful, because those applications are built using thousands of web developers who are experts in their own technologies, and it makes it really easy to get started. Mm-hmm. You can also choose a site from template option, which includes some really basic templates, site templates built here at Microsoft using the new ASP.NET Web Pages technology with Razor. And you can use those to both learn web development, learn Razor, as well as get a simple site up and running quickly. There's also a site from folder option that lets you point to any folder on your hard drive and instantly turn it into a website. So if you've downloaded source code or you're sharing source code with a friend and you want to just use that folder as a website, click that option and get started right away. Once you've started a website using any of those approaches, there's sort of four main areas of the tool that you'll find. The first area that you land on is sort of the website home page. And that gets you quick links to the rest of areas of the tool. It also gives you some basic information about your site, where it lives on your hard drive and so forth. You can access basic web server configuration from that page, and also look at live requests. So as you're browsing the site, testing it, there's a feature there called requests that you can actually see the web server in action, nice. How it's processing your website.
And see where the requests fail, perhaps, and debug that way. Cool.
Yeah, easy to troubleshoot problems that way. Once you've gotten through that first page, then there's three other kind of areas of the tool. There's an area where you can edit the files of the website, so you can browse the directories and the files in your website. You can open up any file. The editor supports HTML, CSS, JavaScript, PHP, and ASP.NET, and has full syntax coloring for all of those languages.
Nice.
It's got all the basic features, find and replace, auto indentation, line numbers, print, all those basic features. And then it also has the ability to open the project, if you want, into Visual Studio. So if you're starting out with WebMatrix and you want to use Microsoft's professional tools in Visual Studio, you can, with a click of the button, go from that editor right, open the project right into Visual Studio.
Is there any compatibility issues going from one to the other, or is it designed to be seamless?
It's designed to be seamless for all of the languages that Visual Studio supports. So for ASP.NET applications and ASP.NET web pages, the project will transition smoothly, seamlessly, and you can start using the advanced features of Visual Studio.
Cool. Now, you mentioned a couple of times something called Razor. Mm-hmm. I know this is something that people out there in the community are really getting behind, and they say that's a really sexy way of programming web applications. Why is that? What's so exciting about Razor?
Well, it's kind of back to the future. like I said before, I've wanted to build this kind of product for a while, and one of the aspects of it is a really simple and lightweight approach to web development. Now, what we found as we've talked to lots of web developers is that there's a variety of approaches out there, and some people value one approach over others. One really popular approach right now is a model view controller approach. And that approach has a really clean separation between the data of the application, the business logic, and the presentation of it. And what you end up having is files, you know, that make up the code of the application that split those three aspects. We have a programming approach at Microsoft that we call ASP.NET MVC for Model View Controller for that exact approach. We're actually launching today ASP.NET MVC 3 for those developers. We also have our traditional ASP.NET Web Forms approach, which is a very friendly approach for doing web development that's page forms and controller based. So if you're familiar with building applications with Visual Basic or building WinForms based applications, the Web Forms model feels very natural. Yep. The Web Pages approach that we're introducing today with Razor is very much like classic ASP used to be. Back to the future, like when I got started. And when the great thing about the web pages is it's super easy to go from learning HTML to adding in dynamic server code into the same page inline. Mm-hmm. And the syntax is really intelligent. Basically, you tell the code parser when you're going to start using server-side code, so you transition from HTML into server-side code, and it intelligently finds, runs that code, and knows automatically when you're done with it and ready to resume HTML. It's kind of magical. It's hard to explain, but if you've seen the demos, you'll look at it, and if you've done this kind of web development before, I think most people say, wow, that's really intuitive. Yeah. The other really cool thing about Razor is we're out building a set of helpers that make common web tasks really simple. So, for example, connecting to a database, connecting to Facebook and getting your friends list, or liking a particular page that you're on, connecting to Twitter, doing the same kinds of things, you know, viewing your Twitter feed, following friends and so forth. And then also, you know, for example, for e-commerce type sites, really easy to integrate PayPal into a web page to do simple e-commerce transactions.
Right.
So really powerful things, really common tasks for web developers nowadays can be done by calling a simple helper function.
Excellent. And that just kind of integrates just as you would write Razor code as well. So similar kind of syntax. And I love the way that you can mingle in HTML and just go to code just by typing the at symbol, because
yep.
That's what you're going to see instead of having an angle bracket percent or an angle bracket question mark. If you're a PHP developer, you're going to see that at sign. But then the code pass from WebMatrix and ASP.NET web pages figures out when you finish coding.
Yep.
You don't even have to tell it. So that's the cool thing about it.
Yeah, that at symbol starts the code, and we help you automatically know when you're done coding. And the helpers are amazing too, because it's a community of helpers that we're building, not just a static set that ship with the WebMatrix product, but go into any ASP.NET web pages website on your local machine, browse to that site, and then browse to _admin, and you open up a control panel of sorts that lets you browse a whole gallery of helpers driven by the community. You can install those helpers, including a bunch that we've created here to bootstrap the ecosystem, and get access to, you know, eventually hundreds, if not thousands, of helpers available to developers from the community.
And that's a key thing, because you go to one place for the kind of definitive list of WebMatrix helpers, instead of having to go scour the internet and maybe get the wrong version, maybe find a version which isn't the official one. But mm-hmm. We've got a list now, a feed online, where people can target against and bring down the latest version, which is a really cool way of doing it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So you mentioned before about a new version of the web server. So what's that about? We had a kind of a lightweight development server beforehand, Netcode and Cassini, but now we've got a new version. Is that right?
Yeah. Our web server story has been a little confusing for developers at times. In the past, we've always had IIS that's shipped as part of Windows, both client and server. So Windows XP had it in there. Windows Vista, Windows 7, all have a version of IIS there. It's essentially the same version of IIS that we ship in Windows Server, but with some limitations. Then in Visual Studio, we've had a web server, the ASP.NET development web server. Sometimes people call it Cassini, which is a different web server, very simple one, mostly focused on ASP.NET hosting. Doesn't have all the same features like SSL or the variety authentication methods that IIS supports, but mostly tuned for ASP.NET web development. Well, we've heard from web developers, they sort of want the combo of those two things. They want the full IIS feature set so that when they're debugging their web applications, it looks and behaves just like it will on IIS, mm-hmm. without requiring an update to the operating system and without requiring administrative privileges. The built-in version of IIS in the operating system requires that you be an administrator on the box just like you're running IIS on the server. Well, IIS Express that ships with Web Matrix, it's also available for Visual Studio customers, solves all of those problems. It is the full version of IIS with all the same features that ship in IIS 7.5 with Windows 2008 R2, but it's factored in a way that it launches as a regular process with the tool. So in Visual Studio you hit F5, IIS Express launches. In Web Matrix you hit F12, IIS Express automatically launches and hosts the web application you're running on. You have access to all the same features of IIS Server. It's fully integrated into Web Matrix and Visual Studio to manage and configure it. And then when you close down the tool, the server closes down and well, you're done with it, don't have to worry about it, and it doesn't require administrative privileges to use. So it's a great solution for web developers, and it runs all the way from Windows 7 all the way down to Windows XP, so you can get at it from any operating system.
Very useful indeed. Now, whilst we're on the topic of the parts of the stack, what about SQL Server? Because we've also done some work around making that more friendly, haven't we?
Yeah, and that's kind of a back to the future story as well. SQL Server Express has long been our web development database, and it's a great, sort of like IIS on Windows client, it's the full version of SQL Server, but available for free, and you install it on your desktop operating system and use it for web development. The challenges that SQL Express has are similar to the challenges that IIS has, the full IIS on Windows client. It is a full server. It runs as a service. It's several hundred megabytes to download and install, and it eats up lots of memory on your system while it's running. And as a web developer, you know, sometimes I want that and sometimes I don't. Back in my day when I started doing web development, I used Access a lot. File-based database, super easy to create. Yep. You can copy it from the development to the server machine when you're ready to deploy, and then you can upsize it or migrate the data to SQL Server when you're ready to go to real production.
Right.
And I wanted a similar solution for Web Matrix. So we worked with the SQL Server team to integrate what we call SQL Server Compact into Web Matrix. Mm-hmm. Also, it'll be available for Visual Studio customers with Service Pack 1 coming out later this year. But SQL Server Compact is really cool because it is a file-based database. When you go into the database feature within Web Matrix and you say New Database, we create the right folder and file inside your website automatically for you. Hmm. You go in there and create tables, we'll automatically create those tables inside SQL Server Compact file. And you can do queries against it, everything right there within the tool. And then when you go ahead and get ready to deploy that application, copy it from one machine to another, check it into Source Depot, the database goes along with it just like any other file of your project.
Nice.
So it's super lightweight, takes up just a few megabytes of memory to load, and loads as part of the web application, goes away when you close down the tool, just like IIS Express does on the web server side. So.
Right. So I'm seeing a consistent theme here, lightweight, easy to install,
easy.
Portable,
yep.
Across the whole stack. That's kind of really what the...
Those are the big themes of Web Matrix, yeah.
Fantastic, okay. What about getting your website live onto the internet, publishing it out there? Because that's obviously a key point once you create your website from scratch or you've built it from an open source web application. What about publishing? Have we made any improvements there or made it easier to do that?
Yeah, that's often... where the rubber meets the road with web applications. You can oftentimes build them, they work great, they look great, they're attractive, you're ready to go, and sometimes getting it up to the hosting provider is the most complicated step, because you're talking about a remote computer that you don't configure oftentimes, you don't own, you don't know what software is installed or not, and whether it's going to work, and so getting it up there and keeping it up to date can be a challenge. And so we have focused a lot on publishing with WebMatrix, and we support two methods of publishing. First, the traditional FTP style publishing, so anyone who is familiar and has that available at their hosting provider can use WebMatrix to publish with. We also support the new WebDeploy publishing with WebMatrix. And WebDeploy is a publishing protocol that we've developed here at Microsoft that has several advantages over FTP. For example, WebDeploy can automatically detect for you which files have changed.
Nice.
And so you don't have to no longer track which files you edited
right. When
you're updating a site. It'll automatically difference your site locally with the server and automatically publish it.
So I've always got lazy. I just uploaded the whole thing again, so it took ages.
If you've got a big website, it can take forever to upload. This will automatically figure out which pages changed and upload just those. The other really cool thing is it not only can publish the files of your website, but also the database. So if you're using SQL Compact or SQL Server or MySQL locally for your website, you hit publish and it'll automatically push the files and the database up to the hosting provider for you.
Very cool.
And that you can't do with FTP.
Yes, absolutely.
It's also completely secure, so it uses SSL to transfer, so all your files and settings and data is transferred securely. It's super fast and efficient. And we work with our hosting providers that are offering WebMatrix hosting to also provide a really super easy way to get your publishing settings incorporated in the tool. So when you sign up for an account, and I recommend you click the link inside the publishing dialog to find a hosting provider, because we've got a link there to all the hosting providers we've been working with that are offering WebMatrix hosting. When you sign up for an account with them, they'll actually send you an email, or inside the control panel you use to access the site, provide a link that you can then download an XML file that has all the settings. You import them into that publishing dialog and no longer have to worry about what was that username and password and what was the server and site. All that's set up for you, and just hit publish and away you go.
I like that. I've used that before, and it's like having autofill for your settings.
Right.
You just click a button and then magically everything's put in. It's a massive time saver. That's cool.
Absolutely. When we talk to hosting providers, they say the number one call they get is somebody who's having publishing problems and can't remember their username or password or server name or something.
I can
imagine. So this saves everybody that headache.
Fantastic. Okay. One other feature that I've noticed when playing around with WebMatrix is SEO optimization. Now, this is something we introduced with the Web Platform Installer and IIS before, but now we're introducing it into WebMatrix. It must be a popular feature to make it into WebMatrix. Tell us a bit about that.
It is. One of the things that web developers tell us all the time is the website development process doesn't end with creating it and publishing it. You want to make the website popular. One of the most common ways to make it a popular website is to get it highly ranked on a search engine. Well, it turns out search engines use a set of heuristics to determine, you know, which site is relevant or not based on keywords, and those heuristics are fairly well known. And so what we've done is we've built an SEO tool that scans your website just like any search engine would, and then tells you things about your website that are really hard to know otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, it can tell you when there are pages or links broken within your website. It can tell you if there's metadata missing from the site that search engines would look for, including not only sort of meta tags, but also, you know, standard HTML tags that might be confusing the search engine. It can tell you if there's canonicalization issues, where maybe you link to the home page using a variety of different capitalization or link methods, and each of those may appear to be a distinct link from the search engine's perspective and throw off the weighting of your website. So there's some pretty advanced SEO features built into the WebMatrix tool. Just go to the Reports tab run a report on your site and find out the information that you may have never known about the website.
Yeah, there's some subtleties there that those rules are sometimes difficult to understand, and knowing them all is almost impossible. So having that tool is really easy. And I love being able to reference old reports and compare how I'm improving as well. That's another nice feature in there.
That report section as well, you know, we've introducing some of the SEO searching that we've been talking about here. That's an area that we'd really like to develop out in the future upcoming releases of Web Matrix. We've heard from web developers, not only SEO is important, but things like security, you know, scanning for security vulnerabilities or performance, more advanced performance and other diagnostics would be super helpful to have incorporated into the tool. And so that's an area to look forward to in terms of expanding the set of features available over time.
Cool. Going back to hosting providers just quickly, I know that finding a good hosting provider is sometimes hard to do, and not many people know about the hosting gallery that we have on Microsoft.com/web. How is that providing a good resource for developers?
Great question. Yeah, if you've ever struggled to find a hosting provider that's both low cost and has the right set of features you want, the hosting gallery is a great option. It's on www.microsoft.com/web/hosting. And it's basically a gallery of hosting providers where the hosting provider submits their offers onto that website. And you can then search and filter based on a set of criteria. We also have ratings and comments available, so you can let others know how your experience has gone with a particular hoster. And you can actually choose among hosting providers really easily. The prices are all listed there as well, so you can find the best deal for your money. Web Matrix also links to that gallery. As I mentioned before, if you go to publishing or inside the tool, you can say find hosting provider, and it'll link you directly to that site.
Very cool. Well, Bill, thanks so much for talking to us, and congratulations on a successful product launch. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, James. It's great to be here.